all treatment standards, definitions, quotes, and summaries. When we start thinking about a treatment, we should think of the seal of Christian Science, which is the text that's on the cross and crown which Mary Baker Eddy designed. And it says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That is what Christian Scientists should be doing. Introduction quotes to Science and Health. A. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's Jesus, and the quote is reiterated by John chapter 8. B. There is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. C. Thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker Eddy. In the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, she states on page 146 at the bottom, System of Divine Metaphysics. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Mary Baker Eddy provides introductory quotes to the entire textbook, which have just been read, and also to each chapter. There is one quote as an introduction to the chapter entitled Recapitulation, which is chapter 14, and that is a summary of chapters 1 through 13. And 14 is the final chapter of the section of the book entitled Science and Health. Starting with chapter 15, it is entitled Key to the Scriptures. So in reading the one in 14, the introductory quote, it says, For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Isaiah. It appears that the message that she is giving us is that we must look at the individual facts and we must open our dimension of thought to a 360 degree. In other words, up, down, left, right, all around. I believe that's what she means by line upon line. And then here a little, there a little, I believe she's telling us that we don't need to be concerned about the whole scope, learning it in one period of time, unless we talk about infinity. But I believe she says, take a little bit today. Build on what you learned yesterday or what your reserve of information and knowledge was about spirit that you've already studied. So I believe that if we look at the original three quotes to the entire textbook, I believe we can get some clues as to exactly what she meant from her statement on page 146 about the system of divine metaphysics being reduced to a system. She says divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. If we think about those first three quotes, the first thing it tells us to do is to know, which means understand, the truth. And if we do that, the truth will make us free. The next one is, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. I believe she's telling us by quoting Shakespeare that we need to put into our thought only the truth. That's the only way we're going to be made free. And then the third one, which is a quote from herself, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." I believe the message there or at least one perspective on the message may be that if we do number one, which is focus on the truth, number two, realize that nothing is good or bad unless we think it is, so we need to be focusing on the truth. Just like Jesus, when he saw a man that was in having some kind of an ailment, he didn't think about the man as having an ailment. He thought of the truth. He thought that this individual is a reflection of God. It is a son or a daughter of God. It is not someone with an ailment. Just like in mathematics, if we think 7 plus 8 is 13 instead of 15, we replace it. We don't try to improve it to say, well, it's 13.1, or even that it is 14.9, which is close to the truth, which is 15. We replace it with the actual truth, that it is 15. It's not 15.1. It's not 14.9. It is 15, and it is nothing but 15. That's what we have to do with the truth. We have to make sure we exchange anything in our thought that is not absolutely the truth. And that's what the second quote is. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Let's make sure that our thinking is on the quote from Jesus, which is the truth. And what are we going to be made free from? Another one of the all treatment standards is from page 468, and that's out of Recapitulation, which is a summary of chapters 1 to 13, and it is entitled The Scientific Statement of Being. And she says, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Now, I've found that if you substitute where she says matter with any ailment that you may be facing, that it is possible to heal it. I had a healing one time where I had a growth that was starting to appear over my right eye. And I didn't pay any attention to it for several days. And all of a sudden, I realized that, well, this is ridiculous. It keeps getting larger. What am I going to do about it? What does Mary Baker Eddy say to do about it? She says we should clear our decks every day. In other words, don't go to bed with something not being right. So I decided right then and there I need to treat it. So the scientific statement came to me, and the only time I ever noticed it was when I was in the bathroom if I was shaving. And so, because that's when I would be looking in the mirror. Otherwise, I never really looked in the mirror unless I was combing my hair. So I thought to myself, I could substitute the word matter for the words, there is no belief. In other words, there's no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in the belief that there is a growth above my right eye. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth, and the belief of a lump or growth being above my right eye is mortal error. Just like in math, we throw it away. We replace the mistake when we add 7 and 8 with the correct answer, which is 15. Well, if we're going to look in the mirror, we've got to replace what appears to be a lump with spirit. In other words, I am spiritual. It says here, spirit is immortal truth. Matter, or in this case, what was appearing as a growth above my right eye, is an error. So get rid of it. Replace it. Replace it in thought with the fact that I am a perfect image and likeness of God, and therefore I cannot have a defect, because spirit is the only substance, and spirit is my substance, and spirit is flawless. There can't be anything abnormal that is a part of spirit, and spirit is the only substance. So the next sentence says, spirit is real and eternal. Matter is unreal and temporal. So I would say the belief of a growth above my eye is unreal and temporal. Why does she say it's temporal? Because we're thinking about it temporarily until we heal it. But it's really unreal, so we have to get our thought, like Shakespeare says, we have to straighten out our thinking. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. So I would replace that with, spirit is God, and I am his. And that's a capital H, so it's God. I am God's image and likeness. Spirit is God, and I am God's image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. And I would say, therefore, I am not material, I am spiritual. In a few days, that lump disappeared. Totally disappeared. No scar. And the only reason I ever think about it is if I'm thankful, expressing thanks for healings that I've had or protection that I've had. God is all in all. So we must utilize the truth about ourselves or anyone else that we might be helping. Use the truth to replace anything that is ungodlike. Utilize that statement of being on an individual basis to eradicate the error. Mary Baker Eddy says we first need to analyze the situation, and that is to determine what is the real problem here. And it might be something totally different than what the symptom is pointing to. We have to do our best to find the absolute problem. People would come to Mary Baker Eddy, and they would say, I'm having a problem healing this or that. And Mary Baker Eddy would say, "What are you working on?" And they'd be working on what the symptom was pointing to. She said, "That's the wrong thing. In this case, you should be working on malpractice." So we need to double check and be sure we're working on the right thing. It may or may not be malpractice. It might be something totally different. In fact, Wentworth Winslow has a great series of three articles on malpractice. And in short, he says, mal means bad. So malpractice means you're practicing badly. So change and not practice anything that is not 100% godlike. He says, no one else can cause us problems if we protect ourselves, knowing that there can't be any bad practice by anyone. In other words, God's thoughts are all good. And one so-called individual cannot pass a bad thought to someone else, because God is the only communicator. God is mind. Mind is the only communicator. Mind is the director, the controller. Remember Shakespeare, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Don't be thinking that another individual can practice badly against oneself. You, me, anyone. Because God is the only power. Without power, nothing can be done. And power is something that's already proven to be performance. God certainly has been proven to be the only power. Jesus proved that. Ones before him proved that. Imagine the Israelites, children of Israel. They lived in the desert for 40 years. That has been indicated in the Bible to be completeness. Said Jesus was in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. Children of Israel in the desert 40 years. Four is the number that is utilized in the city of God, which is the operators of the system of divine metaphysics. So in other words, the operators in math are add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And the operators in the system of divine metaphysics are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And we can be thinking about the four in math to apply to the four in the system of divine metaphysics. What are we doing with the Word? The Word means the facts about God. The Christ is the second one, and that means translating what comes our way to its spiritual nature. In other words, there can't be any flaw. It's interpreting what is seen from a material sense to the reality of the spiritual fact. So what are we doing? We're subtracting. So we're adding in the Word, because we're adding the facts about God to our thought, and we're subtracting the things that are unlike God in the Christ. And then what are we doing in Christianity? We're taking the facts about God, which is number one, the Word. We're subtracting the things that are unlike God in the Christ. And Christianity, we're utilizing that understanding to demonstrate the truth about the facts, the truth about the translation, and therefore we're going to bring healing. We're going to bring healing not by trying to heal the problem, but by correcting our consciousness about the truth about ourselves or whomever we're helping. So the Christianity is adjusting or really replacing our consciousness that has any error in it with the consciousness of spirit, which is flawless. Consciousness, by the way, relates to the word of truth, which is the sixth synonymous term for God in the days of creation order. Mary Baker Eddy says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So truth is number six of the seven synonymous terms in that particular order that she's presenting, and that's from page 465 again, which is from Recapitulation, which is the summary of the first 13 chapters. Very important definition for God because it is the summary of the first 13 chapters. Now, the fourth side of the city of God, is science. And science is two-dimensional. If you look on page 115 and 116 of Science and Health, she gives exactly what the four levels are of the system of divine metaphysics. She starts off with the first level, which is God. That's the absolute. Everything is perfect. And she includes God's highest idea, which is man. And then if you look at the next one, that is one of the three levels of mortal thought. She calls it the translation of mortal mind. The first one is the translation of immortal mind. That is God, the perfect, the absolute. If you think about mathematics, every third number, well, I just did a few of them. I'm no expert on mathematics. But, in other words, 1 divided by 2 is 0.5000 ad infinitum. So that's a complete calculation. But 1 divided by 3 can never be complete because it is 0.333 ad infinitum. It is just a series of threes as far as you want to go out. 4 is no problem. Easy to resolve it to a complete series of numbers which ends in 0. 1 divided by 4 is 2.5 or 0.250. 0, 0, 0 forever. But 6 is another one that is the third number. Just like 3 was 0.333, 6 is 0.666 forever. As far as you want to take it out, it's still only a 0.6. There is no 0 there, which means that there is no even answer. The system of divine metaphysics is superior to any other system. It's superior to mathematics. It's superior to music. If one follows the system of divine metaphysics, there will always be the right answer. Nothing is left undone. The only pure science, absolute, most superior science that exists is the science of divine metaphysics. Because it is all about God. In review, Number one was the three introductory quotes to the entire textbook, or at least to the first 14 chapters, because there's other quotes that cover the key to the scriptures. Quote number two was from Solomon, which we reviewed. Quote number three is from Isaiah, which we reviewed, precept upon precept. Quote number four is the definition of God from page 465, which we reviewed. Number five is another definition of God, and that is from the glossary, which is part of the key to the scriptures, which is page 587. God, the great I am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. So instead of stating things that are a part of the city four square, which she did in the first definition, and those words were incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. And incorporeal relates to the facts about God. In other words, God has nothing to do with something you can touch. God is what is behind what you can touch. The life of a tree is not in the leaves or in the nutrients in the ground or anything else. The life of the tree is from God. All of those other things are qualities that express various aspects of God. If you think about their spiritual value. So here in the first part of the definition of God, she says, the great I am, the great I am, not a great I am, not something that is great. This is the great I am. In other words, if we talk about I am this and I am that, we could get in big trouble. Because we, as a reflection, and the Bible indicates that man is a reflection of God. If we are a reflection of God, then we cannot be the great I am. We can't even be an I am other than as a reflection. And can we be really super smart? Well, this says the all-knowing is God. How about vision? This says our vision comes from God. All seeing, all action. If we move our legs, that's an example of the action of God, assuming we're moving them in the right direction. All wise, do we think we're so smart we can always make the right decision? This says all wise is from part of God. How about love? If we're expressing love on an impersonal way, is that our own? No, it's from God, because God is all loving. And we know that love is impersonal. True love, which is spiritual in its foundation and source, and then eternal is the next term, and the one before the restatement of the seven synonymous terms. Eternal, so everlasting. She talks about eternal life. Certainly, if we look at a tree and think that the life of the tree depends upon all these various factors that they think that is the reason for the tree to be in existence, those are all from a material standpoint. But the truth about everything that is true is that it's eternal. And then the seven synonymous terms are in the order of principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. And then she ends with another emphasis on what substance is. She says, all substance. God is all substance. God is the great I am, and God is all substance. So which means that the only substance is flawless, which is spirit. And God is all intelligence. So she's giving an extra thrust to both our substance and where does our real intelligence come from? From what source is our real intelligence? Well, that is the definition from page 587. And right below that is the definition of good, G-O-O-D. And she says good is God, spirit. And then she gives the four omnis in this order. Omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And if we do a little research, we find that omniscience includes all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. So, when she says God is omnipotent, means there's no competition, no opposition, and God is omniscient, she's talking about wisdom, intelligence, knowing, omnipresent. Obviously, that means God has to be incorporeal. A body can't be present everywhere. So it has to be in the thinking of the individual, like Shakespeare says. Everything is within thought. That's consciousness. Around 1900, when they were doing research and discovered a thing called quantum physics, they realized that there was no matter. Now, of course, this is, you know, something like 30 years or more after Mary Baker Eddy discovered that. But they discovered that when they were trying to break down the atom, that they got it to a point where there was nothing there except the consciousness of the people doing the work on it. And that probably also reflected the consciousness of universal belief. But the bottom line is that there was no material substance, because you could keep breaking it down into smaller and smaller parts. So they realized it had to be the consciousness that people were looking at. So if you grab a hold of a door handle and open a door, or you sit down and put your plate on the table, it is energy that is moving at a high rate of speed. And it appears to be opaque. It acts like it's opaque. It feels like it's opaque. It's not like touching air where you can't really feel anything. But quantum physics confirmed what Mary Baker Eddy stated 30 years before, that there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. It can't think, doesn't have any brain, has no remembrance, because that's all in spirit. It's in God, the all-knowing God. God knows all. Forget the brain. The brain is only a symbol for the knowing of God. And are we going to open it up? Are we going to open our thought where we are going to be able to benefit from the real source of knowing, which is God? Mary Baker Eddy says that one of the advantages of praying and asking God for something is not because God's going to give it to us, but it is the fact that we are yielding to what we now feel is the only thing we can do, and that is to go to a higher source than matter or mortal mind, a higher source. And that is going to the immortal mind and going to spirit. She said that's the benefit if you pray to God, because God's not going to change anything. Genesis 1 indicates God already did his work. Everything is already created. And are we going to inform God, which is the omni-intelligence, of something that the omni-intelligence doesn't know? God represents facts. We're not going to be able to inform omni-intelligence of anything. What we're doing is we are opening our thought to the possibility that there is another dimension that is greater than anything we've been experiencing. And since we have given up on matter or mortal mind being our solution, we're saying, oh my gosh, what do I do? And we're yielding to the possibility that there is something out there that is more powerful than what we've been utilizing as our power or our belief in power. Mary Baker Eddy says that the good we do and embody is the only power obtainable. So, are we going to do it? Okay, the next thing is the definition of church. And that says that church, and this is from the manual of the Mother Church. Now remember, the Mother Church is supposed to be the First Church of Christ Zionists in Boston, Massachusetts. It's not supposed to be our church unless we live in Boston and we're attending it. But at least it'll give us a clue as to how we should think about church. And this says church is the structure of truth, capital T, and love, capital L. Not a love between two humans, but something much higher. It says whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. If we're in a church that's not following divine principle, we're not in a church at all. Which really is telling us that a church is mental. Just like Shakespeare says. Then it goes on to say that the church is that institution which affords proof of its utility and is found elevating the race, rousing the dormant understanding from material beliefs to the apprehension of spiritual ideas and the demonstration of divine science, thereby casting out devils or error and healing the sick. Boy, that sentence is full of a lot of really important statements. That institution, in other words, it is not a person, it is not a physical structure. It is a theme of thought. And that thought needs to, first of all, show that it is elevating the race. It needs to be rousing the dormant understanding. Just like when I had that belief of a bump or growth above my eye. My thought was dormant. I ignored it. And then I realized I better do something about it. So I had to get a recollection and expansion of spiritual ideas into my thought. So we need to be rousing the dormant understanding from material beliefs to the apprehension of spiritual ideas and the demonstration of divine science. There we go. System of divine metaphysics. Thereby casting out devils or error and healing the sick. At the beginning of this recording, the seal of Christian Science was stated. In consideration of the word D-E-V-I-L, if you remove the D, it is E-V-I-L. So any evil that is given personalization is a devil. We should not be giving any personalization to any evil, but consider it impersonally in order to cast it out. In other words, we need to do what Jesus did, and we need to replace a devilish atmosphere about an individual or an event with a Christ consciousness about it. In other words, we've got to look for the truth and not focus on the error. 7 + 8 = 15. It is not 14 or 16. We replace it. We replace anything that is other than 15 with the truth, which is 15. The next paragraph is basically just a review of the structure of science and health with key to the scriptures, and that is that chapters 1 through 13 is science and health, 14 is the recapitulation or the summary, so all 14 chapters are considered science and health, 15 to 17 are the key to the scriptures, and they are composed of a chapter entitled Genesis, the Apocalypse, which is a focus on revelation from the Bible. And the third one is the Glossary, chapter 17. And then after the key to the scriptures portion is the fruitage chapter, which are 85 different ones that have testified that their primary method of study was the textbook. And of course, I'm sure they included the Bible, if not the entire Bible, at least the references from Science and Health that referred to the Bible. And out of those 85 students, they testified to 486 healings. The next paragraph is a system of divine metaphysics, listing the terms and the operators, and I will go over them briefly. Number one is mind, and that's the source of everything, stating that it is mental. Spirit, the only substance which is flawless. Soul, which is the spiritual viewpoint of all existence. Principle, which is a system and structure, which is always in balance. Life, which is living the qualities of God and multiplying it by reflection. Truth, which is staying on track without deviation. And that includes both motive and actions, thought and speech. And love, which is nurturing all the qualities to bring understanding to recognize wholeness. And in terms of gender, life is considered manhood, truth is considered sonship, and love is considered motherhood. The four operators have been reiterated, but it is word, the facts about God, Christ, translating whatever comes our way to its spiritual nature, Christianity, which is using the understanding to demonstrate the facts about God and the translating of the Christ. And if we have a healing, that means we've understood them correctly. And science, as I noted before, please refer to page 115 and 116. Something we need to always do is to seal the treatment. And what is meant by that is making a statement along the lines of the following. Nothing can dilute, divert, deflect, or interfere with in any way the truth that is in this treatment. The truth cannot be stopped, cannot be reversed. God is omnipotent, and there's no other power. Therefore, the truth in this treatment is effective and brings healing. God is all in all, which means that God is all source and God is all manifestation, which really means that God, as being all source, includes its own manifestation. And finally, there is nothing but God. That's the end.